Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 36 reads, "If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever." Set in its context, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Now, throughout the ages, Satan has inspired men to seek the destruction of Israel in various ways. And every one of those attempts has failed. This one, too, is doomed to failure. And the reason for that is because they're not doing this the right way. Now, those of you who are here on Friday got the heads up on this. But the Bible does tell us in our text how to destroy Israel. The only way to destroy Israel is to do the five things that are written in the Bible. You've got to stop the sun from shining, and my understanding is Bill Gates has something going on with the plan for that. You've got to stop the stars from shining and reflecting their light off the moon. You've got to control the sea, and as one astute young man pointed out, that the control of the sea and of the light shining off the moon is all interchanged. So you might be able to get two in one on that one. You got to invent a really, really, really long tape measure so that you can measure heaven. And you've got to do a Jules Verne. You got to journey to the center of the earth. You do those five things and you can destroy Israel. Very simple. Everything else is not going to fly. God will thwart those who will stick their finger in the apple of his eye. We read in the book of Exodus how Pharaoh had decreed infanticide with regard to all Jewish males. And in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16, we read this: "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." And the rationale there is that if you kill all the males in Israel, you will eliminate the seed of Israel, and that the daughters will be taken as wives by Egyptians and will be grafted into the Egyptian or Canaanite genealogies. Again, Satan inspired evil men many years later to commit mass murder against the Jewish people. And we find the record of this in the book of Esther, in the third chapter, beginning in the 8th verse. "Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, 'There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you." And then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, and every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. And the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy and to kill and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. The satanic attempts to destroy the Jewish nation do not end there. We recall the Spanish Inquisition, where folks who called themselves by the name of Christ tortured and murdered not only other Christians, but Jews. We recall the Third Reich. Hitler thought that he had the final solution. At least if he had made a futile attempt to try the fivefold method that's written in the Bible, he might have saved himself some face and some lives. Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Syria, and a great many ignorant kids in our college campuses are spewing their anti-true God, anti-Semitic rhetoric. And now, evil men have taken occasion to act upon these things. And the Jews today are faced with more infanticide, more murder, and more torture. As it is written, there is nothing new under the sun. But friends, God has promised to preserve his nation, and he's not done with them yet. The children of Israel can rest in the promises of God, but it will avail them not unless they receive Jesus as their Messiah. There are four general groups of Jews today in the land. People of the land, the first are the secular folks, the secular Jews. And then you've got the Zionist Jews. I've been asked that question a few times. And those are the guys with the MIGA hats. Those are the Make Israel Great Again folks. Just by way of, just to give you a point of reference. Then you've got the Orthodox Jews, sometimes called the Hasidic Jews. And these are the hardcore Jews who want to bring everything back to the Old Testament, to bring back theocracy, the temple services, and all of those things. And then finally, there are those Jews which we strongly, or most strongly, support, those Messianic Jews who not only support the state of Israel, but who have such a burden for their countrymen and women because they know that apart from knowing Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, that these individual Jews are destined for the flames of hell, because there is only one way. And so we pray that if and when God brings about a great deliverance for these people, and we bless them because the promise is that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. So we bless them without reserve. But our greatest prayer and greatest support is with regard to the prayer that these Jews will be saved individually. So, friends, resting on these promises, we know that it is impossible for God to lie. And since the God of all heaven and earth has promised the preservation of the Jew unless someone does the five impossible things, then preserved they shall be. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so, just as national salvation is promised eventually in an unconditional fashion for the Jew, this same God promises the Christian the preservation of the soul. Your salvation cannot be lost any more than the Jew could be utterly forsaken. If you believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and if you believe upon Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, then you have a position before God that is such that your place in heaven is eternally secure. Do not let any false teacher obscure the matter on this point. For Jesus himself has said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So if you have passed from death to life by making that transaction, when you get up to heaven, you don't have to worry that by some bureaucratic mistake, you're not going to get let in. It is a surety, for it is impossible for God to lie. Now bear with me, friends, as I read the fuller context of our text. And you will see that the new covenant which we are under today and the preservation of the Jewish nation are forever intertwined. Beginning in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, we read of the institution of the new covenant prophesied. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant," Jeremiah 31, 31, "with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." And this is written with reference to the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. See, friends, the Old Testament was not found faultless insofar as nobody could keep it perfectly. So God acted by sending his son Jesus as the mediator of a better covenant. So there we have the prophecy of the new covenant. And where do we have the record of the institution of the new covenant? Right there at the Last Supper. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with them. He said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I will say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, Take and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In Luke 22:20, here's the clincher. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So the new covenant is one. It came through Israel, through Jesus of Nazareth, who came in the flesh as a Jew, and resulted in spiritual blessings freely available today. Both for the Jew and also for the Gentile. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, preserved, and carried in the bosom of the Savior today, every day, and forever. But the scope of the new covenant doesn't stop there. The new covenant was initially, as we see, prophesied to the house of Israel and Judah, given through a Jew, Jesus Christ, ratified by his blood, resulted in spiritual blessings in the church age. But its scope continues to the future coming of our Lord, regathering of believing Israel, and institution of the millennial kingdom, where nobody will have to say, Know the Lord, for each one will know him because he will dwell among us. Paul puts it this way, For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He's talking about the church age. The church age has to run its course. And then all Israel will be saved. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That sound familiar? The covenant when God will take away our sins. The new covenant. So friends, let us understand the unique plans that God has for the Jewish people, and let us bless them that we may receive a blessing. And more than this, understand how the Lord carried out his plan for the ages in order to make you part of the new covenant by his death and resurrection. As we preach through these things and teach through these things and read these things, my goal is that you will be edified and encouraged by the fact that all of the promises of God are certain, and that you will feel safe and secure and your salvation and your position with Christ, that no world event will shake you, that no uncertainty in your life will trip you up. How faithful and consistent is our God? How much does he have it all under control? You watch the news, and you can watch wall-to-wall breaking news on Fox News or whatever news channel of your choice. But God always knows the next frame. He knows the first frame, and he knows the last frame. And he knows your frame as well. Are you unsteady and full of cares? Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And though people may cast you out, mock you, treat you disgracefully or unkindly, remember this, that no matter what, Jesus will never cast you out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your people Israel, to whom we owe a great debt. For through them came the law, the prophets, and our Savior. We join with Paul and our partners who are ministering over there in the nation of Israel in praying that not only will you bring peace to Jerusalem, but that by your deliverance, that it may be known to every man, woman, and child that Jesus of Nazareth, the same Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified nearly 2,000 years ago, is risen from the dead and is the only means of salvation for these folks. Lord, we rest in the fact that you have an eternal plan that is just broader in scope than anything we could even imagine. That you've got all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And that you've got us covered in that plan. That there be no need for any of us to be moved or shaken, because you carry us in your bosom. Lord, may the blessed assurance of your promises be upon each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.